1962. We're moving now into South Wexford and into the many churches of Wexford and Kilscore and Union. The only cure in the diocese that has nine churches. The first of them is Hoartown, a church where I remember a happy visit some years ago to dedicate many gifts after wonderful refurbishment. But one little detail I love about Hoartown, in the vestry, it must be unique in the diocese, there is a photograph of a rector who actually was there in living memory, Canon Brandon, riding a horse. And apparently he was very given to horses and matters of the turf and did a lot of his parish work on horseback. And there's a link with another style of pastoral ministry. Reminds me of something that my predecessor, Bishop Fair, said during the war years when petrol was very short. He reminded the clergy they were very lucky to have any and they should confine it to use on Sundays to travel around for public worship, and for the rest of the week they should get used to either cycling or using their horses again. In 1962, now last time I reflected on the opening of RTE television at the end of 1961. In 1962, we get the specific development of Gay Byrne's first Late Late Show, one of the great Irish institutions which continues, of course, in other hands to this day. And when he died, Gay Byrne died, there was endless coverage of why this programme was such an institution and an agent in social transformation, and I need hardly repeat it. But in a society that was still very based on who you were and where you were born, Gay Byrne was the headline for those who aspired to come out of nowhere. In his case, out of modest circumstances near Rialto on the South Circular Road in Dublin. And he, like some other estimable people, which was so difficult to do at that time, particularly with only modest, readily available secondary education, he built his career on talent alone. And at its best, education should be all about enabling people in every generation to come out of nowhere. I always remember when I was a teenager, a distinguished English visitor staying in my father's rectory and finding himself watching the Late Late Show, said with wonder and sincerity, "We've no one as good as that." And from the early 60s on, broadcasters and especially TV personalities shaped the conversations of society and opened minds more than even politicians. Witness the blanket coverage given in recent times, not just to the death of Gay Byrne, but also to that of Marion Finucane and Larry Gogan and others. It was even thought when I was training for ordination that clergy should try to train themselves as sort of amateur broadcasters. And a little studio was set up in the Theological College in Churchtown in Dublin, and we had to make little programmes and practice interviewing each other and do face-to-camera work. I think it was a bit naive to think we could ever enter into that league. But we had a lecturer in the college who loved to compare our traditional approach to preaching as being inadequate compared to the good communicators of the TV. And he would say to us, "Who are the great communicators?" And then he'd single out people like Brian Farrell and Gay Byrne and Robin Day on the BBC. And he would say rather sarcastically, "They wouldn't do a 10-minute face-to-camera slot, and you think you can." Certainly, televisions changed the attention span of people, produce new concentration on the visual, and inevitably, perhaps thankfully, shortened sermons. So, inaugurated by Gay Byrne, and despite his own genuine modesty, from 1962 it's the cult of personality that starts to dominate Ireland. Politics no longer is perhaps the thing that molds opinion as much as television broadcasting, and politicians themselves no longer succeed because of Gladstonian oratory or the grating tones of Dev at town square meetings on the back of a lorry. They have to be good on television. That is the beginning and the end of it. And in due course, the Oireachtas itself comes to be televised. Parliamentary performance is judged on the small screen, and now the debate about the use of the small screen to connect with public life has moved towards the courts.